Here we go.
My brother warriors. Might shall be the wrath they feel upon our assault. Arm yourselves well, brother warriors, and steel your righteousness. Gird yourself for holy combat and go forth.
Now, your host, the Librarian.
Welcome back, brothers, to another episode of Fight Night, where we talk about Warhammer 40K and the Games Workshop hobby. We got several guests on tonight. We're going to have a really good conversation. We're going to have both Primarchs, Jeff Crowley, Paul DePonio, Hornbrawler, and The Prophet, respectively. We also have Mike Cowan, who's known as Shadow Crescent, chapter master of the St. Louis chapter. How's it going, you guys?
Going well.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we've got a, you know, if you haven't been to the Fight Club in a little while, there's been a lot of changes going on. And I think we've already established that Paul has been on a caffeine kick here lately and has made a number of alterations to the way the site looks and feels. Paul, you want to talk to us a little bit about these changes?
Sure. Well, the big change is the idea was the chapters. Okay? I wanted the site to focus more around the chapters and the clubs within the club. So I've been putting a lot of work into that chapters section with the new way that it displays members. Used to be the scrolls, very difficult to keep maintained, so pretty much they weren't. To this, which is going to be a lot more automated, working on a way to make it so the chapter masters can actually get in there and make their own adjustments to those listings in there. Tying off that, it brings us, once that was in place, it laid the foundation to be able to bring back something that we had done quite a while back. And I was disappointed that it didn't transfer over when we changed the software we were using for the site, which was the award system. Because back in the day, we were handing out awards. You'd earn awards for different things, and people had actually built up some. But once we went over to this PHP Nuke stuff, it would not work. It just wouldn't transfer over. And I've been upset about that ever since it happened. So with the chapters stuff laid down, that laid the foundation to be able to bring back the awards, which at this point, they're in. They're ready to go. Kind of had it going during the Crusade. Thanks. Kind of had it going during the Crusade. Right. But it wasn't where I wanted it, and so wanted it to display when people saw someone post, which it just didn't work that way. So I actually had to get a guy come in from outside. We use some of the funds from the donating member, from people who have donated, use some of those funds. Got this guy, came in, and worked on our site with me exclusively for about a week here. And we got all those little things changed. So now when people receive awards, it's going to display whenever they make posts. So they can keep, you know, it's a little Benny thing. What's that?
A little gamer bling. A little gamer bling going on.
Exactly.
You know, so how do people get awards? Who has to put them up for it and stuff like that?
Well, right now, I or Jeff would have to actually hit the check mark to give someone an award. The way that – now, Jeff and I really haven't talked about it much, so this could change. I'm thinking that we'll end up doing it very much like we did years ago, where people can be nominated for an award. There will be certain awards that are you do this, you get it. Like if you become a donating member, you'll get a medal for that, for supporting the club. And I already have that medal out there. I might have assigned it to one or two as a test just to see if it was working. But so, you know, you become a donating member, you get a medal. Things like the painting challenge, if you complete the whole year, and again, we haven't talked about it, but yeah, I don't see why we couldn't give someone a medal for that. taking part in the Gallus Crusade, you know, big things like that. And then in addition to those, there'll be like chapter specific things where a chapter can come up with certain medals for their events or their yearly, you know, chapters are supposed to have a yearly chapter only tournament or event or campaign or something like that. So for that, they could hand out awards as well. So that's kind of how we're looking, or at least I'm looking. Again, I haven't spoken with Jeff very much about it as of yet. Yeah, exactly. I kind of figured it'll just kind of go back to the way it was, but now we'll actually be able to do it.
And people can see it, which is the awesome thing. I mean, it was always a great idea in the past, but now it's actually has come to fruition where you don't actually have to go and dig to see the medals. They're just going to be out there for people to see underneath their username and stuff on the left-hand side of their posts.
Right. Exactly. In the past, it used to be honors for, and you had to click on that to see what the awards were.
Right, right.
Now you got the whole salad thing going on down there below the name.
Yep, yep. I can adjust how many awards are displayed and how big they are and all that kind of stuff. So I'm still working on what's going to look the best. I'm not thinking that, you know, people theoretically can get as many awards as they can get, but I don't want it to be where people are running around with 50 medals and that kind of stuff. I mean, if they earn them all, yeah, rock and roll, off they go. But I don't want them to be just, you know, give out things where you just get them just because you happen to log in that day or something.
Right, right.
So the awards that show up there should be ones that, in my opinion, are, you know, worthy. They're things to be proud of.
You know? Right.
That sort of sounded like the Navy Achievement Medal for a while. Just handing out that thing for just doing your job. Here's 2 points for your next test. Have a nice day.
Yep. Well, yeah, I'm sure if it was, we had, like Paul said, we had an older system, and the chapter masters, well, the chapter masters didn't award it. They were the ones that had to submit to the Primarchs to do it. So there was a whole even can we give an award for going to this tournament or doing this event kind of discussion going on behind the scenes. So that kind of prevented people from getting like 15 awards just for showing up to like one tournament and doing like a couple crazy things.
So, exactly.
Yeah. And I think if I remember right, one of the requirements was that an award winner had to be a chapter member. So
at the time, yes, that was correct. And we'll talk more about it later, but most likely the awards will be more focused around chapters. There will be ones that are given for, you know, Fight Club wide things like the painting competition that Jeff ran, Hornblower ran. You know, that's open to everybody. So, you know, everybody can get an award that way. But there'll definitely be awards that are specific to chapter activities, chapter membership, stuff like that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's nothing but good news. And there's also been some changes to the way the profiles look. What was your idea behind doing that?
On the forums with a post on the left there, or there's two spots where it's been changed.
I'm talking about the one in the chapter profile thing, where you go to your chapter profile page and you have all the chapters there. You click on it, and somehow you've aggregated the profiles there as well.
Okay, yeah. I wanted it to be more prevalent throughout the entirety of the site that the chapters are, you know, a main portion of the Fight Club. So it has it now to where if you're a member of a chapter, it will automatically put a chapter profile link at the bottom of your signature. So before, people had to go in and I had to kind of shoehorn it in there, and it was pretty bad the way I put it together. But this way it's done right now. It shows up automatically. The profile takes you in there. And then when it gets to it, eventually, there's more stuff still to be done. But eventually there's going to be like a long list of stuff where you can fill out your favorite armies and you can, you know, where you typically game and just a variety of things like that, that, you know, kind of define who you are and, you know, what armies you play and stuff like that, which, you know, what good is it for? Eh, I don't know, but it's fun.
Right.
You know, you get on, it's part of the community. Cool. I mean, it doesn't matter really, but it's cool to be able to see someone out in California and look at their thing and someone you've been talking to go, hey, you know, I didn't realize that you did this or like that game or whatever.
Roger. Roger. So, so Fight Club swag, we got some new stuff coming up. We got a great new t-shirt you guys put together. And then there's talks of an army bag.
No, army I'll let bag, Jeff take that.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I don't know how much a realistic idea that's going to be. We got one of our members, I can't even remember who it is off the top of my head, who has volunteered to do the footwork and looking into the details on this. Honestly, I'd be surprised if we can get a quote that would come back as being a reasonable price for our average member to be able to afford. I don't.
Oh, so you mean like the price of an arm instead of an arm and a leg?
Yeah, there you go. You know. Maybe even a, you know, five finger discount and be what more is. But I think I go for an arm. So we'll see. I mean, we could be surprised. But you know, honestly, my hopes aren't super high. But I am really happy with how the t-shirts came out. We have one of our members here in the Lansing area, Phil DeWitt, is a graphic designer for a t-shirt shop. So. I approached him a few months ago and told him what we were looking to do, and he said, okay, well, let me put some things together and see what I can come up with. And I thought he came up with a real winning design. He actually had a couple designs that I thought were very nice. So we just put them up to a vote, and the majority took the one that we went with, and I haven't heard a complaint yet.
Excellent. Yeah, they did look really sweet. And they're really good quality. That's also kind of surprising. Usually, yeah, t-shirts that you buy are really kind of chintzy.
Yeah, sometimes they are. You know, and Phil, you know, being a professional in the industry, you know, I told him what we were looking for. In the past, he's always provided us with top quality shirts. So we were willing to pay a little bit more up front to get something that's going to last for a while. It took me a couple of years to burn through the last one we got.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that well. Huh. So what... What else you got on the pipeline for swag for the Fight Club? I know that once a year or so, the chapter masters dream up something to spend our hard-earned money with. Do you guys got any hints or clues you can give to us?
Well, I know there's been a little bit of talk also of getting some customized 40K Fight Club templates. I thought that would be really cool. You know, just a set of the standard three, or you could, I think those were going to run $20, I think is what the quote was, for, you know, your 5-inch, your what was it, the other one? 2.5 or 3? And then the flame.
2.5 or something like that. I don't know.
And then there was also another price that the guy put together to get Apocalypse templates as well. And I think that was an additional $20 on top of that. I thought it sounded like a really cool idea. I mean, you can never.
Templates would be rocking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be pretty cool. Something especially if you could get them monogrammed with your name.
Oh, yeah, that would be actually cool too. Might delay the process a little bit, but either right. way, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. So,
go ahead, Jared. I was just going to say that's all we got really in the pipeline right now. I mean, Jesus, you just got your shirt. What do you want?
I want more dice. That's what I want.
You want
more
dice?
Stuff.
More dice.
We could do dice again. I'm not opposed to that. I mean, it's been, 5 years since we've done dice?
Quite a while.
Yeah. I need dice because my dice that I bought hate me.
Well, the new ones are going to hate you too, Mike.
No, they're not. Well, I don't know. I can calibrate them. I've got a big hammer out in the man cave.
Right. You're looking for the special dice.
Yeah, the ones that are not loaded. I think I got mine at like the Loaded Dice Prank Shop or something.
Yeah, in all seriousness, no, I wouldn't be opposed to looking into dice. I don't know, maybe approaching Christmas time or something.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Getting those chapter dice back, or those Fight Club dice back again would be great, because, you know, the only set I've got left are my Chapter Master dice. The other ones have seemed to walk away on me or something.
That's too bad.
So, you know, Fight Club had a couple really big things go on over the last couple years. Now, the first, the really kind of the big one that's kind of personal to me is the end, literally the end of the Gallus storyline. It was kind of, for those that don't know, the Gallus was an idea I had when the Fight Club first came on. I kind of bugged the Prophet and Hornblower to do a Fight Club-wide campaign. And for several years, once a year on the Fight Club's birthday, we'd redo it for a few months and do this story-themed campaign. And then Jeff, or the Hornblower, he ended it in style with nearly a year-long wrap-up to the storyline itself.
Yeah, I mean, it ended up running a long time. And I knew it was going to, and it was awesome. I mean, I was really happy.
Yes, it was.
Really happy with how it went. That being said, I probably let it go a little bit too long.
Nope.
But, you know, to go back, if I could change things again, I'm not sure if I would. I was really happy with the participation. Of course, as with any campaign, there was a lot more participation up front than there was towards the end. We kind of finished with your core of hardcore participants who wrapped things up strong.
Yes.
I thought it put a nice, solid finish to the story. I thought, for the most part, all the players were very receptive to playing outside the box. That was one of my primary goals for the campaign, was to really challenge players to look at things from a different perspective and not just line up with your tournament list that you play with, on your local game shop once a week.
Yeah, you killed two myths for me. The first is that a campaign like that can't run longer than 3 or 4 months. Proved it wrong. And two, that most players, unless they're a small group of really close friends, don't want to do anything else but stock missions or tournament ones. But again, proven wrong. I mean, they were doing stuff that you just dreamt up and were putting up there.
Yeah, so,
go ahead, Paul. Let me throw something. I think definitely your first point about the length was debunked on this one, because it did go long. Like Jeff said, Hornblower said, it did taper off a little bit after the very beginning, but that's attrition. That's how every campaign is. Yeah. But the second point about only small groups of friends being able to do that outside the box missions, I think that is still in effect, and the dynamic that the Fight Club creates makes it to where it feels more like a small group of friends. We're all in different areas, but it was focused very much around almost like a basement level campaign. I think that I think it went very well with those missions, and I'll give it back to Jeff, but I just want to say that he went through and he designed all those missions. I helped a little bit, but he kicked ass on those. He pumped those missions out hard, and
I agree.
They were all great. All of them. I liked all of them.
Well, thank you. It took a lot of effort, and that was one of the things where, you're not 100% prepared, no matter how prepared you think you are. You know, once you start getting into something like this, you start running out of ideas. I kind of had to dig deep, and I might have gotten repetitive in a couple instances. But, what do you do over that kind of length of time?
I thought they were all great, especially the one that I actually won.
Well, Global Smack used to tell me when we were doing the BFGs together, I was the one churning out missions. I had to do tons of them because he rejected so many every time till we got to the few perfect ones. But he would say, look, you're going to do a meat grinder mission, add deep strike to it. Now it's a different mission. That's so, true. In some respect, once you get burned out, well, just add another couple special rules to it. Now it becomes a different mission.
Yeah, a little twist here, a little twist there can go a long way. I really enjoyed also how I mixed in, the Planet Strike and the Spearhead and Apocalypse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Cities of Death. And by mixing in all of those, all of those extra special bonus rules, it really was able to, you know, add a lot to the missions in the campaign. You know, even if you weren't playing a Planet Strike mission, by just taking these couple of special rules out of Planet Strike and applying it to the mission, totally changes everything. And I thought it worked out really well.
Yes, you know, it did.
And it's something that isn't even, you can even be attributed to me. I really want to give kudos to all of the guys out there who spent hours upon hours writing storyline and background,
yeah,
you know, for their armies and characters. It's something I meant to do a little while ago, and I guess I got to readdress it. But I want to open up the private forums on both the for the Chaos side and the Imperial side, and let the other side read with the other side what each other were writing, because there's some really, really good, you know, story arcs that were written by some of these guys, and they put in some serious time behind the keyboard writing up this fluff, and I was really, really impressed.
Yeah.
I appreciate Hornblower for taking my email or the PM that I sent to him about September's time frame for having an APOC game. Because every year at my house, you know, for my birthday, we do an APOC game. And we still have yet to get past round 3 because it just is too
long. Isn't that most APOC games?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I'm glad he went with the idea and made it chapter wide.
Sure. I mean, I'm always looking for fresh ideas. You know, I mean, you just happened to help me out that week. That worked out great.
Hey, do I get a medal?
No.
Dang. Thought I would try.
You could have at least given me a map, and then I could have gone with that. That'd have been worth a medal, but it's just an idea.
Oh, okay. Well, crayons and paper are set, ready to go.
As long as they're in JPEG format, just send them on.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
But the way you integrated all those mission rule books into the campaign, actually, our chapter is going to steal that idea for a campaign we're going to be doing next month.
Sweet.
So we're going to integrate the books into there as if it's like a real mission. So there won't be anything random. And going back to what you said, how you get burned out or you just are struggling after a while to come up with an idea. I've been on a break for a couple years of doing any kind of campaign stuff because, you know, you just lose it after a while and everything becomes repetitive. So we have another guy in our chapter who's putting this together, and I recommended him come look and see how you did it with the missions and so forth. So he's taking it on himself to replicate that.
Awesome.
Nice.
So what there's been another big Fight Club kind of event, and I really kind of get into it because it kind of gels the community a little bit, kind of exactly what this podcast is supposed to do, and hopefully become kind of a beacon to others in the warp to do these kind of big group-based things. And again, Jeff, hats off to you, this painting challenge. What is it specifically?
Sure.
And then I'll ask you some more questions about it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, the painting challenge idea, you know, I got to be honest, I kind of stole it from another podcast or forum I was on. I can't even remember exactly which one it was, but what they had come up with was an idea to paint a unit per month. And I just stole it from them verbatim last year. And so, like, you know, each month had a certain type of unit that needed to be painted, like January was an HQ, February was a troop, etc. Until the end of 12 months, you had 12 units painted. And I thought that was a really cool idea. So last year, I went ahead and did it, and we had good success. But there's a couple things that I really wasn't super pleased with it. I didn't like how you were pigeonholed into one army and a specific unit for every particular month. And I thought that kind of caused participation to wane as the year went on, as people got bored with their army that they were working on, or you know, maybe fantasy was drawing them away. And so what I wanted to do this year is I wanted to generalize it more and let people, you know, have a lot more freedom with what they were going to be working on a monthly basis. So what I did this year, you know, starting in January, was anyone who wanted to participate, what you needed to do was just announce at the beginning of the month what your project was. The only conditions are it's not supposed to be any further along than having just a primer coat on it. I mean, it can still be in the shrink wrap for all I care, but you know, as long as it doesn't have a base coat or anything like that, you know, if you're just at primer, it can count as being unstarted when the month starts. Then you have to the end of the month to finish whatever type of a model you want to work on. It can be anything from a character model to a piece of terrain to, you know, a regiment of 30 spearmen for fantasy. I mean, whatever you want to work on. I mean, it could be a unit of Flames of War tanks. I don't care what it is. I just want to give some people some motivation to get their armies painted, you know, no matter what game they're working on. Because, as you know, we're all veterans of the hobby here, and you know it's a big difference when you put your miniatures down on the table when you're, you know, playing against someone who's got a gray plastic army and another guy who's got a fully painted army. There's a huge difference in how the game feels. And I just want to give our members some incentive to get out there and get their stuff painted.
So are there, so who's, any outstanding painters from last year jump into your mind? Not to kind of discredit anybody who doesn't stand out, but anyone who just kind of went above and beyond.
Yeah, I really like Hornblower's work. His was really good.
All commissioned. Yeah.
I didn't get paid nearly enough for that. You know, if I had to really pick one person, I'd have to go with I Fiorita out of the Bay Area. That guy puts out sweet stuff at a ridiculous pace.
Yes,
I mean, the guy's married and has kids, and I have no freaking clue how he puts out that many things at that high quality. And, I mean,
he locks his kids in the basement.
Something. Yeah, something.
Or they're doing the painting.
Or they're doing the painting, yeah. I was just going to say they got...
Well, maybe.
He's got a big bench around their dining room table, and they all sit there and paint every night, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive. The guy puts out awesome models, and, you know, and I've even said on, you know, on the forums that, you know, I hope they look as good close up as they do from, you know, 3 feet away, and multiple people who live in the area have posted, and they said they look even better close up. So
not to put you on the spot, though, with this attention to painting now and getting the whole, I mean, really, it's got the Fight Club fired up. Is there any plans of maybe doing like a Fight Club Cup where we have our own little competition for the best model?
You know, that's not a bad idea. Hadn't ever really thought about it.
Well, not to toot my horn, but you do know that every good idea in the Fight Club's come from me, right?
There's been a couple. I'll give you a couple. You've had some bad ones too, though, Jerry.
That's yeah, nice. I have had some bad ones.
Don't go down those
podcasts.
Yeah, right.
Oh man.
You know, the only thing that would cause me any reservation about doing that would be that it would have to be judged based off of photographs.
Yes.
And you know, it's really hard to get a good feel of how well something is painted from a picture. I mean, we can take, you know, the Prophet, for example. You know, he just posted some pictures of this new Mortarian figure he just painted up. You know, and while the pictures look good, I mean, I was holding it in my hand last week, and I'll tell you now that the pictures don't give that thing justice. That's a really sharp-looking model. And
thanks.
Like I said, the pictures don't give it enough credit. You know, where...
Yeah,
you
can, I was a little disappointed with the pictures, but... I took them a couple of times, and that was about
Lighting is such a huge deal too when you take pictures of things. I mean, you can have someone with a sweet light box and, you know, and a pretty good miniature versus someone with, you know, no light box and an awesome painted miniature, and, you know, the guy with the light box is going to probably win 8 times out of 10 just because his is going to be better lit.
Yeah. And if someone decides to pay somebody to take a picture.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. Not much you can do about that.
All right.
But yeah, it's an interesting idea, and I wouldn't be opposed to broaching the subject down the road. But I'm not quite sure how I'd go about judging it at this point, just for those exact reasons.
Right. So now we've got something else here going on, Mike. You've got your chapter deep into Daikon. We talked about that last year a little bit.
Right.
So why don't you give us a little bit more flavor? I think Fight Clubbers are actually thinking about coming down this time. We had last year, but I think more of them are going to make the journey.
We had a couple last year?
I thought we did, didn't we? Other than your chapter?
No, nobody showed up from anywhere else in the Fight Club. We only had about 20 people show up, which is about on average of what we had for an RTT. This year so far, we have 30 people signed up that I know of, with another 8 or 9 going to sign up. And supposedly we're having some people from Capital City Games over in Indiana showing up, which if we hit 50, great. It's awesome. I just know it's going to double next year.
So what is DICON? Is it just like another, I don't want to say another, but one of those local conventions where hobbyists of all types of hobbies and board games and so forth get together and have a good time? Or is it have a different focus and there's just happens to be this Games Workshop thing going on?
DICON is basically a major geek fest. Whatever game there is out there, it's probably going to be there. We're talking like James Bond, the role-playing game. It was there. Hackmaster was there. Just all kinds of games I've never even heard of were there. But our little section, for once, they're going to actually put all the miniature-type games in one room so that we don't have to try and strain our hearing trying to get over the Legend of the Five Rings players. Because when they start going into each round, it's nothing but Harry Carey. But the DICON is going to be, for us, it's going to be major. We're going to have a huge 6-foot by 8-foot banner that I've already posted up on Fight Club. The first place winner is going to receive a trophy, which I have in my hand right now. It's the Honored Imperium set up, you know, the Space Marine out of that.
Right.
It's going to be those for first, second, and third for this year only.
Well, so you guys are making the trophies?
Mm-hmm. Getting them mounted and everything.
Oh, nice.
But that Honored Imperium Space Marine is only going to be for this year only. Next year, we're having acrylic trophies made.
Okay.
Wow.
And they're going to be sweet. First place winner gets $300 in prize support. Half of that is payable there at the con. The other half is payable by Games Workshop.
Oh, wow. In form of gift certificates, I'm assuming.
Right. Yeah. And so if you wanted to start a new army, bam, there you go. You can buy half of it there and the other half, wait till that's better used sent.
Well, with the price increases, that's probably going to buy you like a couple Marines.
Well, maybe a Marine and a leg.
Yeah.
Also, first place will be invited down to the Throne of Skulls tournament in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, nice. Comes up. Nice. And you have to pay your own way to get there.
That is going to be very, very, very.
What was that, Jeff?
Of course. No, it used to be, but it.
I said I thought that the Throne of Skulls was in Las Vegas.
It was. They have changed the location to make it more centralized.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I guess too many people were losing money. I don't know how.
They were buying enough plastic
bottles.
It's
only Vegas. It's either that or people were going out and gambling and or getting married to each other or I don't know.
Sure.
You know, some Slaneshi thing or something. I don't know.
Prostitution's legal. They're spending their money on the wrong things, not on plastic, right?
All right.
Well, even that could be misconstrued as prostitution if you get the right type of plastic companion. So, but let's see. We're going to have awards for first, second, and third. That's going to be your best overall. You're going to have best general, best appearance, and best sportsman. Now, it is not required to have all of your figs painted. If you put primer and one coat of paint on it, okay, fine. You really don't think you're going to stand a chance of getting best appearance or best overall, but we're there to have people play. And I think as the years go on, we might tighten up the requirements a bit, but right now we just want people to show up and play.
Nice. $300 prize money should go a long way towards getting people to do that, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was quite surprised at how much we were going to get from Games Workshop. And then our sponsor, Heroic Adventures, said, yeah, I'll match that.
Nice.
I had to sit down.
Nice. That's good.
Wow.
That's really good.
Very cool.
The tables, as soon as we get all of our tables actually done up. I'll get a picture of one of the tables with the terrain on it. And, yeah, you guys can figure out what's going to look nice and what's not. I've already sent a few pictures to Jerry.
Yes, yes. And, in fact, I was just going to say, during this part of the conversation on the podcast, if you have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, those pictures will be displayed during this portion of the podcast.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, I've look actually, at you.
I know. I figured some software out. Yeah.
Nice.
Really, hey, I just figured out where the power button is. What's up?
Hey, Mike. I was just going to say, we'll also toss in a T-shirt to the winner of the event as well.
Oh, sweet.
Excellent.
Yep. Awesome. It's not quite equal to $300 in Games Workshop product, but it's a little something that we can give.
Hey, it's something to promote the club. That's the way I see it.
So when is DICON?
DICON is going to be going on through the 3rd of June to the 5th of June. The actual tournament is the 4th and the 5th of June for just the tournament itself. The 3rd of June is nothing but free gaming day. And if you want to get an APOC game going, let's get an APOC game going. You want to play Blood Bowl, play Blood Bowl. You want to play Battlefleet Gothic, knock yourself out.
Now, is there going to be, is it just open? You can just go in there and game and no problems at all?
Game all
on Friday.
You want on Friday.
Okay. Well, I just want to let everyone out there who's listening to this know that I am actually going to be coming down to DICON on that day, and I will be there. I'm coming in Thursday night, so I'll be there all day Friday. So if you want to get a game in against me, come on down. I'll have my stuff.
Oh, hey, don't worry. I'll have that crashed Imperial Fist lander on the game board that you're on.
Too bad I'm not bringing my Imperial Fist.
Oh, darn.
And actually, I was curious, can you push this back a couple weeks? I'm not quite done painting yet.
Sure, we'll push it back till next year.
Excellent. Well, no, that's a little too long.
Okay.
All right. So I've got, now we're going to go into some of the free-for-all conversation here. I've got a kind of a new segment here coming up for a little while until we're either proven right or wrong. But what are your sixth edition predictions?
Flyers.
Liars?
Flyers.
Liars? No, flyers.
Flyers. What do you mean by that?
Aircraft. We're going to see some kind of aircraft rules.
Oh, okay.
You're just seeing all these armies are getting, you know, Storm Ravens and, you know, Void Dragons and whatever that new Dark Eldar flyer they just released pictures of the other day. And it's all things are
shagging wagon.
Yeah, there you go, the shagging. yeah, that's my prediction number one, flyers.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, the game will go out of the two-dimensional up into a three-dimensional. Yeah, yeah.
All right. My prediction?
Oh, go ahead.
More confusion. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's gone pretty well overall from each edition to the next.
The rules kind of get more clarified. I think the the problem really is, and where it usually always is the interaction of codexes to the main rules.
Right, right.
Because they've transferred complexity into the codexes themselves.
Sure.
Where before, third edition was fairly complex, and so was fourth a little bit, and then the rules really started getting watered down, and then all that complexity moved into the codex.
Right.
So that's really, it's where the questions usually are. Look at Grey Knights. I mean, can you stack all those grenades? Can you stack all these abilities? And I think the answer is yeah. Why not?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's only a 20 model army.
Yeah,
that acts like it's an 18,000 point army.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was gonna say I wouldn't be surprised to see some altercations to the wound allocation.
Yeah,
I think it's become too much of a metagame in and of itself.
Or just flat out altercations between the players.
Well, there you go. That too.
But Jeff, when hasn't wound allocation in some fashion not been a metagame? I
mean, absolutely. You're totally correct. It's always been some kind of metagame. But you know, I think as we've even talked on this podcast in the past, you know, some kind of how it seems just wrong when you shoot, you know, four plasma wounds and four bolter wounds at two guys, and all the plasma go onto one and nothing go on the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, it seems just kind of broken in some way. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some kind of rule come into effect where you have to spread out each AP value evenly among unit types or something to that effect.
Sounds more like going back to the way third or maybe even fourth did it.
Yeah, sometimes you had things right the first time and didn't need to really change it. So
yeah.
Right.
We'll probably just see some kind of hybrid in between the two systems would be my guess. And then I also wouldn't be shocked to see a return to some kind of line of sight blocking terrain stuff.
Oh, thank God, yes.
Well, I mean,
like
I'm
what
just
it was
in
fourth?
Like it was in fourth. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't mind seeing going back to something like that. I mean, it's just
true line of sight is a pain in the ass.
It really is, you know. and with a game of miniatures, you know, there needs to be some abstract, you know, and to have right. everything, you know, looking to be, you know, as modeled exactly, you know, in a game where nothing is posable, you know, everything, you know, after you glue it together. It's just, it makes it really difficult.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't, I think that the, true line of sight is a fine thing, when it comes to ruins and I mean, even trees or anything like that. I guess I've always kind of played true line of sight where you'd get down and you'd look from the model and see if you could actually see it. It's just the removal of the area terrain, basically. It kind of flattened the game a little bit. It feels like there's a lot less maneuver that goes on because you don't. There's nothing to hide behind. But that's just because, and Hornblower and I were talking about this last time we played a game, was, you know, people just haven't updated their terrain collection to include things that actually do physically block your view. You know, everybody had tree bases or, you know, the bases, and then they could move the trees around and stuff like that. But big buildings and ruined walls and rock spires and stuff like that were not as prevalent.
Now, that's you said it previous just a little bit in that conversation then. Do you see that, because my prediction for 6th edition is pre-measurement will come into play, because it's already in fantasy. It was in War of the Rings previously and Lord of the Rings before that. 40K mm-hmm. is the last to fall on this point. Now, do you see that, and some people say that's just further watering down the game. If it is watering down, where then do you see if you're a designer and you're going in to decide this and you know you're going to water this down or you're going to take some of the element of chance out, then where do you put some more of the strategic thinking or the tactical thinking for the player into the game itself?
Well, I think it ends up getting pushed back on dice to be the random aspect of it, as opposed to not being able to, you know, look and gauge how far your unit is from theirs. Which is more of a personal thing, where dice are, you know, impersonal. Everybody theoretically rolls the same style of dice, and it just goes from there. So if you remove the guess on how far things are, I think they'd end up putting something in there, maybe back to even Warmaster style, for leadership, where your leaders are, you know, commanding your units in order to be able to make them move or do something.
Unit activation almost.
Right. I don't know if it would ever go that far. I mean, that's a pretty far distance from where we are now, but who knows? Maybe it would. Mm. I think it would actually be kind of cool to have squad leaders and champions and unit commanders and stuff like that have a more important role as opposed to just an extra attack and an extra point of leadership.
Yes, yeah, I agree. They need to be able to do something for the squads. And I think you see that with Grey Knights a little bit, where the Justicar is fairly important to the squad.
Yep.
Yeah. Or if some special character brings something to the entire unit that he joins. That's what I see.
Yeah. All right, so our hobby picks for the night. Now this, again, if you don't remember, it's something that's really got you going in the hobby really good. It can be a model, a book, It could be anything that's just kind of set that's you're focused on right now, and you're ready to go. So, Mike, why don't you give us your pick for the night?
Well, it's actually going to be two. One is, you know, all the terrain that I'm doing up, and I just came in out of the man cave to do this, and I'll be going right back out and finishing up the Tyranid terrain for Daikon. But for games day, I'm going to be making another banner, and my goal is to win the third time in a row for Games Day Chicago. Sadly, they didn't have it last year. They only had it in one spot, and I'm not going to travel way out there. But my goal is to win three times in a row in Games Day Chicago with this one.
Excellent. Excellent. Cool. Jeff, what's got you going for the hobby?
Well, what's got me going right now is Daikon, man. I got I decided I was going to go to this thing late last year, and so I made a promise to myself that I was going to be taking a new army. So starting with the painting challenge in January 1st, I've dedicated my time to get a Blood Angels army up and going. So I'm down to 11 guys left. So I got to
finish
11 guys between now and I don't know, two Thursdays from now. 2 weeks from tomorrow, I'm leaving. So I got 2 weeks to wrap these 11 guys up.
Yeah, really. Really. Paul, what's turning your butter right now?
Well, actually.
What's
kind of been getting me, cause I've been kind of laid back on the whole painting and gaming,
I'd call it
really.
Lazy. I would.
Yeah, we can tell.
Laid back. And what's actually starting to get me motivated again is my oldest son is getting pretty enthused about gaming and stuff. So I've been cleaning and getting things more organized. And this is just over the past couple of weeks, actually, trying to get it so we can get more games in. He's really getting motivated about it. So I want to be able to enjoy that with him there.
Well, I don't think it was caffeine.
That's actually what's been getting me going with motivation on the game.
Yeah, I don't think it was caffeine. I think it was his son getting this urge to want to start gaming, and just dad's been content ever since.
He can have his own chapter right there in the house.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I've actually seen Paul's son's paint work, and he's doing a really good job.
Yeah, he's on his way.
He's on his way, absolutely. For 15 years old,
he's looking
pretty sharp.
I got to tell you, I think the people that are coming up in the hobby now, no matter what their age is, have it easier than those of us that started 20 years ago.
Because oh, heck yeah.
I remember, and this is just not an age thing, I remember when I started, not in just Games Workshop, but just miniatures alone, there was nobody you could go to learn how to paint. And, and people wouldn't teach you for whatever reason. They kept their secrets to themselves, so you had to discover it on your own or find someone who was willing to give something up. Today, you can't walk down the street without somebody knowing how to paint something. Really well.
Yep.
Not to mention
that
YouTube
is true.
Tutorials and everything else. I mean,
yeah,
the resources out there today are just infinite.
Yeah.
And,
or outsourcing.
Yeah. Or not to mention, you know, if you go back into the late 80s, early 90s, and look at the Golden Demon winners from then, I mean, that's like the average army at the game store now. You know, the stuff that we're
doing
Slayers. You know, is yeah. The skill has just come so far, so fast.
Yep.
Yeah, it sure has.
Yeah, and it's been nothing but good for the hobby overall.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, you got any final words for the night?
Well, actually, on that topic there about the easy from the first thing I thought when you said that it's a lot easier now in the game, I don't know. The first thing I thought was, no, it's not, because back then, not to be contrary, but back then, the game was very open. You know, when we played a game, you just kind of played. You just threw the stuff out and you did your thing and off you went. And you kind of told a little bit of a story. And some guys shot and some guys died and some guys didn't. And off you went. Where now I think people getting into the game have to fight their way through some of this serious level of skill, not and purposely shying away from competitiveness, saying that's what it is. I'm just talking about skill, because you come into the game now people know what they're doing. They play good and not trying to beat people down, but they just play very well. So new people coming in can be easily discouraged doing that, where before when we came in, there was no bar.
That's true.
You know, there was no bar. Yeah. You just came in and you played. And no one had egos about it. No one had anything like that. It was just, you know, freaking game into game. And now it seems it's a lot harder to keep that type of attitude. And I think new people coming in feel that, whether they realize it or not. And it becomes harder to get into the game.
Yeah, you're right in that aspect. Actually playing it, the barrier to entry is pretty high.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I've also found, though, that with new people getting into the game, it's often easier to get in with a partner or a group of friends. You know, if you have another friend who's looking to get into something like this, it's better to come in, you know, in a small group, because then you have people of like skill who are kind of learning it together.
Right.
You know, for example, Paul, take our two sons. They're the same age, same experience. You know, they can play together and they suck, but they don't know they suck. They're just having a good time.
Right. You know, yeah, they're just having a good time.
Yeah, they're thinking they're kicking butt, you know, and then, you know, you take them up to the fortress for a night and they get their face caved in, you know, mm-hmm. four games in a row. But, you know, on a Saturday, hanging out in the dining room, you know, they're just having a heck of a good time, just throwing dice and watching.
It's very reminiscent. Know. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the innocence of it all is great.
Right.
You know, but like I said, and they're enjoying the game for what the game is, you know, and as they get older and more mature and are able to, you know, learn from their mistakes and, you know, and advance in their skill set, you know, then they'll blossom into flowers.
Somehow I don't think Prophet's kid is going to turn into a flower.
Maybe we'll see.
The final thing,
but it'd be very thorny and lots of blood and stuff like that. Yeah.
Is that right?
Sorry, it's a cornflower.
Right.
Oh, geez. The final thing I had to say about some of those pictures I sent to you, Jerry, there's two different pieces of terrain with quartz crystal on them. One of them only blinks green. All right. So everybody out there who plays in this game knows what that's going to be. But the other pictures that I have on there where it's the same piece of terrain, but you see red light, then you see a blue light. Well, green is also in there, but those colors blend into one another over a period of time. And they just keep going from one color to the other. We're going to have the table with those on there, and that's going to be pretty much the extent of our Necron table.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So anybody who plays Necrons, you are going to have fun with that table. Just put your army on it, have a photo taken, have a great time.
Hey, Mike. Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll bet you a beer that you don't have any Necron players at your tournament.
Yeah.
You know what? The way it's going, you're probably right.
I'll just take him up on the bet. You'll have a Necron player.
Yeah, I'll just give you a beer anyway.
They can buy you a beer.
Right now, we have a lot of Space Marine players who have sent their army list in. You are
Go
one
figure.
Of them. Yeah, I wonder why. We have a Tau player, an Orc player, an Eldar player, and I believe that's it. Yep, that's it.
Other 26 than Space Marine players? Okay.
Yeah, it's like umpteen trillion chapters of Space Marines, and they're all on the list.
And they're all Blood Angels.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's some Space Wolves in there.
Yeah, it's going to be the return of third edition, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing Space Marines, it's a Blood Angel or a Space Wolf.
Oh, third edition had plenty of Black Templar. Come on now.
It did have Black Templar.
True. That's true. I forgot about that.
Man. Oh, I haven't.
Yeah.
Still scarred for life, are you?
Oh, yeah, my God.
Post Eye of Terror.
I think there's going to be three Blood Angel players at least, because Jeff is one. There's some other guy with his Blood Angel army, and then this other kid that's local is probably going to have his in there.
Very cool.
I guess we'll see what goes on.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good event.
Oh, I think it will be. We are going to have a few announcements before the games. I think the first day during lunch, I'm going to be going around and doing the appearance thing. But for anybody who does not know what our tables look like, we have a black and yellow hazard area that's 2 feet by 4 feet. So people can put their books, their army, whatever. So you don't have to put it on the floor anymore.
Cool.
Now, is this next to every table?
That is on every table.
Okay, awesome.
It's part of it's part of the 4x8 piece of OSB board okay. That we put down.
Okay, so you're using 6 feet for play space and then 2 feet for just storage.
Exactly.
Okay, nice. That's a good idea.
That's very cool,
That way you don't have to forget about, oh, crap, I didn't deep strike my land speeders. And here round five.
Mike, are you guys finding that you're going to have to rent some kind of like a storage unit for the rest of the year to store all this terrain and tables that you've built for this thing?
Negative. They are in the man cave.
Wow. That's a big cave.
And then I'm going to put down a concrete pad and then get a storage shack for myself.
Okay. Just kind of keep it in the backyard kind of thing under lock and key.
Yeah. Yeah, and then put all mom's boxes in the storage shed first so they're the last things I have to take out.
Good plan.
You got to put my priorities in perspective.
Absolutely.
Playing boards first to get at.
There you go.
Well, excellent, guys. Thanks for coming back on the show. I know it took a long break, but I promise I won't do that again.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, and Jerry, I want to thank you very much for stepping up and bringing this back. It's definitely an added piece of excitement for our community, and I know we have a lot of members of the Fight Club who enjoy tuning in, and I'm sure there might even be some listeners from outside the Fight Club that are enjoying this little tidbit as well. So thank you for all your efforts, and I'm looking forward to episode 2, season 2, coming up soon.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do. I can tell you now already, I actually checked tonight. I said on the board something like 45 people or something were subscribed to the podcast.
Right.
It actually doubled in size already.
Oh, sweet.
Really?
Wow.
Yep, so we about to have 100 subscribers. The reach is somewhere between 80 and 90. That's a little inaccurate because it doesn't count people who stream it, but yeah, that tells you how many people have actually downloaded the podcast and have listened to it.
Very cool.
Wow.
I also know, you know, from listening to many other podcasts, for anyone who's listening, the higher that people rate the podcast, so if you're having a good time listening to this, give it 5 stars on iTunes, and it will kick it up in the search for 40K related podcasts.
Oh, nice.
That way we'll be able to reach out to more people.
And for people that do give 5 stars, I'll actually read I'll read it here on the show itself. So, and I've read the 5 that are already there, so I'm not going to repeat them. And they're all Fight Club members. So,
okay,
go to iTunes and
you promise you'll read it, Jerry.
I promise I will.
Excellent.
Bet you a beer he doesn't.
I want that beer because I'll read it.
I'll give you a beer if you read it.
Well, tell them you only drink Naked Toaster beer, so
yeah,
good luck
right.
getting some.
No, I'll get that George Washington beer that was posted up.
Oh, man, that stuff is not fun. That stuff is nasty.
Smelled like sin? What was that?
It smelled like death on toast. I don't know what.
Death. Have you tried it? Have you tasted it yet, Jerry?
No, I'm in Phoenix right now on a business trip.
Oh, that's
trip.
Right. Okay, yeah.
So I come back tomorrow. It'll be ready to keg on Friday. So I'll keg it. I'm going to let it sit for 3 days to add a little carbonation to it. And then I'm going to suffer because I got to try it then.
Jerry, I think your family is probably laid out dead already because of the fumes that you
guys... My wife made me put it out in the storage building out back. So she couldn't take the smell anymore.
I guess the garden is dead then.
Yep. It was horrid stuff. For those that are listening, my other hobby is making beer. I made a beer based off George Washington's recipe. And somewhere along the process, my wife threw up. It smelled so bad.
Wow. Wouldn't it be ironic if you stored it out there and it killed your cherry tree in the back?
Excellent. On that note, thanks for coming on the show, guys. For those that are listening, remember, as always, shut up and roll the dice.
We're not on air. I ain't saying shit. Oh, that's right. You start recording immediately, don't you?
Now what are you going to do for the remainder of the future?
Maybe now I'll start painting.
They'll blossom into flowers.
I start filming my first feature-length horror movie.
Is mainly it based upon the preparations for Daikon?
A self-improvement slash drama slash make you want to cry horror film.
Wait. I think I saw this movie. Kim Kardashian's porno, right?
I only have so much talk.
Well, I want to talk about you. Hang up.
Oh, well, fucking talk about me.
John, I was going to answer him over the fucking Skype so I don't have to type it all out.
And somewhere along the process, my wife threw up. That is the most work on that website since it stood up that I've ever seen done.
Sound like a girl.
If that's what your girls are sounding like, you got a problem, buddy. I buy my 5-hour energies at Costco.
Welcome back, brothers.
When are you
going to
start the intro?
You know what?
Visit us on the web at www.40kfightclub.com. That's www.40kfightclub.com or .com.